and it will come to order, and the clerk will call the roll.
Atkinson, Atkinson, Bates, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Boquist, Burdick, Burdick, Carter, Carter, Devlin, Devlin, Dinkfelder, Dinkfelder, Ferrioli, George, George, Gerard, Haas, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger,
here.
Mons Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Brzezanski, Brzezanski, Rosenbaum, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Verger, Walker, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, President Courtney.
A quorum being present, we will post the colors. Senator Carter will lead us in the pledge.
To the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Our invocation this morning is by Senator Monroe.
Thank you. Shall we pray? Our Father and our God, we thank you for your presence among us. We thank you for the guidance that you give us every day. And Lord, I would particularly like to thank you for the arms that you're putting around our colleagues, Senator Winters and Senator Verger, who have lost their life partners in the last few months and who must be feeling terribly lonely at times. Lord, I would ask that you would sense their loneliness and make known your presence to them so that they may continue to do your good work. Lord, I would also ask for those that are ill, for Senator Carter's daughter, for Senator Boquist's wife, that you would reach out and touch them and heal them and bring them back to fullness of health. Lord, I thank you for my colleague, Senator Bates, being available to us, most of whom were struck with the flu. What a wonderful example he sets. What a wonderful resource he is to the members of this body. Now, Lord, I would ask that you would give each of us the wisdom of Solomon and the perseverance to continue our job. Lord, especially lay your hand on our leader, President Courtney, who will take us through the troubled times ahead. And for me, Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Amen.
Courtesies of the Senate. Chair recognizes Senator Carter.
Colleagues, the past 30 days, all of you at one time or another have come and said to me...
Can we have a little quiet, please? Sorry, Senator.
the last 30 days, each of you have come to me and wished me strength and wished my daughter good health, because 20 of the 30 days that she has been in the hospital, she's been in intensive care. Today, I am pleased to say that for those of you who had great thoughts and those of you who had prayers, my daughter is at home. Her condition was one that 4 hours later than she went to the hospital, she had sepsis. She would have been gone. And she's a small statured person, but is doing better and is at my home with me. So she still needs your good thoughts and your prayers, because we're not out of the woods yet. So I want to say thank you very much for your support.
Thank you, Senator. Are there further courtesies? Remonstrances. Chair recognizes Senator Bonamici.
Thank you, Mr. President. This week is the 11th annual National Consumer Protection Week. And I wanted to let you know that the theme this year is called Nuts and Bolts, Tools for Today's Economy. Whether consumers are trying to stretch their paychecks, improve their credit history, or tell the difference between a real deal and a potentially fraudulent product or service, information is the tool that can help them get the most for their money. So there's a lot of partner organizations in this national effort, including the AARP, Better Business Bureau, Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, Office of the Comptroller of the Currency, and the United States Postal Service, among others. And in our state, the Department of Consumer and Business Services and the Attorney General's Office will be working on events throughout the week to bring highlight to the fact that this, colleagues, is National Consumer Protection Week. And, of course, you are all invited to the Senate Committee on Consumer Protection on Tuesdays and Thursdays at 3 o'clock. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. Chair recognizes Senator Telfer.
Thank you. Today's minute, sesquicentennial history minute, is a challenge to my years of studying Latin and not all these other languages, so you'll bear with me. This sesquicentennial history minute is from the Oregon Historical Society's online educational resources, the Oregon History Project, and the Oregon Time Web. Sacagawea was probably born in the late 1780s in present-day Idaho's Lemhi Valley. She was taken captive by Hidatsa raiders when she was around 12 or 13 and sold to a French-Canadian fur trader named Toussaint Charbonneau. The first reference to Sacagawea in the historical record is in November 1804, when the Corps of Discovery was wintering in the Knife River Indian villages near present-day Stanton, North Dakota. Sergeant John Ordway noted in his journal that he had met a French fur trader and his squaw, a derogatory term referring to native women. At this time, the Shoshone teenager would have been several months pregnant with her first and probably only son, Jean-Baptiste Charbonneau. A few months later, Sacagawea, her newborn baby, and her husband left the Knife River villages of the Corps of Discovery on their journey westward. William Clark noted that she and her husband were hired to act as interpreter and interpretress for the Snake Shoshone Indians. The expedition journals make note of her service as an interpreter and mention that she pointed out familiar landmarks when they entered Shoshone territory. There is little evidence to suggest, however, that she acted as the expedition's guide beyond recognizing Bozeman's Pass as a good place to cross the Continental Divide. Little is known about Sacagawea after she and her husband left the expedition at Knife River villages in August of 1806. There has been some controversy over the date and location of her death, but most scholars agree that she probably died in 1812 at Fort Manuel in present-day South Dakota.
Thank you, Senator. The chair recognizes Senator Starr.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, I had an opportunity this weekend that I hadn't had for a very, very long time. I spent about 4 hours at the state high school wrestling championships at the Memorial Coliseum. And the point that I want to make today, rather than recognize the winners, is the unbelievable amount of volunteer effort and the logistics that goes into that state championship. It is unbelievable. You have 12 mats You have men that are, young men that are wrestling on coming in there. You've got volunteers that are organizing that. It works like clockwork. There are literally hundreds of wrestling matches that occur over a 3-day period of time. I was quite honestly amazed. I was there to see my nephew wrestle for Silverton. And I hadn't been to a state wrestling match since the 1980s, I would say, when my brothers, maybe 70s, late 70s, when my brothers were wrestlers and my brother took fourth in state. But the reality is that I just wanted to recognize all of the effort that goes into putting on the state wrestling match. It's phenomenal. And I think that we ought to applaud not only the coaches, that lots of them are volunteers, but the volunteers that helped to put on that particular state meet. It's unbelievable. And the young men that compete, for 6 minutes, giving everything that they have on those mats, it's a feat that I think ought to be recognized. So, Mr. President, that's what I wanted to highlight today. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Chair recognizes Senator Walker.
Yeah, great. Thank you, Mr. President. I'm so excited. I read my Capitol clips over the weekend, and I still get them because I make my staff print them. I find them so valuable. But I'm reading the Capitol clips this weekend over at the coast, and I read about this most exciting thing. The BLM gives the state 640 acres as part of settling an old score. This was in the Ben Bulletin. Okay, colleagues, this is your education about the Common School Fund. When we became a state 150 years ago, Congress gave us the 16th and 36th section in each township. They said, okay, here's what you need, states, so you can have a public education system. Thomas Jefferson believed in that. So we own the waterways, we own 3 miles out to the territorial sea, and we own section 16 and 36. But you know what? Some of those were taken up by other people. Or the federal government already owned them, so they were to provide us in-lieu lands or lands instead of. Well, by 1964, the state of Oregon figures out, we didn't get all our lands, so they file a lawsuit. 27 years later, that lawsuit is settled, and the federal government says, okay, you can have 5,202 acres. No interest, no nothing. Now, 18 years later, we're finally getting some more money, some more land. So this 640 acres is outside of Prineville, 6 miles south, and it's right next to a subdivision, and it's going to make money for the Common School Fund. Folks, this is ridiculous. 150 years later, we're still looking for our land. We are now owed about 1,600 acres of that 5,200, and this is what funds education in Oregon. So I encourage you to do what I've been doing since I was chair of the Education Committee in 2005, and it's to make sure they get off the stick and they give us our land, because if we moved at this pace, we'd never get anything done in the Oregon State Legislature. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Chair recognizes Senator George.
Growing up in a rural area in the state of Oregon, I was like many probably who would every day tune in at noon to listen to Paul Harvey. Those of you who haven't heard the news over the weekend, Paul Harvey, the famed newscaster, passed away. A day that I never thought I would actually hear about, because it seemed like Paul Harvey reached across all generations. And I remember when, as a small child, my grandfather would pick me up and go take me to get a haircut, and then we would listen to Paul Harvey on the way to the Palm restaurant where we would have lunch. And Paul Harvey became everything about what is rural America. And I think about in 1977, as a small child, somebody bought me the Rest of the Story book, and I would sit there every night and read chapters from the rest of the story. Paul Harvey affected so many Americans in so many ways, his daily newscasts. Growing up on the George farm, all of you know my father, former State Senator George. We would have, from the time Paul Harvey started his newscast to the time Paul Harvey finished his newscast, to finish our lunch and get back out on the tractors. But in slower times, Dad would roll out in his pickup truck and bring us lunch out on our tractors, and he would always show up right at the right time, so he would hand us our lunch, he would turn on the radio in the truck, and we could listen to Paul Harvey. Paul Harvey's son this weekend talked about the fact that now, as both of his parents are dead, most of you know Paul Harvey and his wife Angel. He said in only the way that he can say it, which is, radio lost its godparents and millions of Americans lost a friend. And folks, I think all of us who listened to Paul Harvey growing up lost a dear friend this weekend. And it's hard that we're never going to be able to hear that line again. Paul Harvey, this is Paul Harvey. Good day. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. And yes, Mr. Harvey was a national icon for many years and actually coined many phrases. He's credited with coining the phrase skyjacking. He's also credited with coining the phrase Reaganomics, among others. Chair recognizes Senator Winters.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I had a very unique opportunity this past weekend, and that was to celebrate my daughter-in-law's birthday, and it was an unusual celebration. All of the family, including the grandkids, the little one on up, we went to a self-defense training activity. And for those of you who don't have never participated or been involved in learning self-defense, I encourage you to do so. There are lessons to learn for all of us on how to protect our space, whether it is some activity that we had once here in our own chambers or whether you're out and about, and particularly if you have teenage young daughters on going to college. And I would recommend that it's actually, the facility is in Senator Morris's district. So I went to Senator Morris's district over the weekend to learn self-defense. So watch out, you guys.
Thank you, Senator. Chair recognizes Senator Atkinson.
Mr. Chair, when I was in the fourth grade, I experienced racism. And Mr. Chair, a day and a half ago, I experienced racism again. And it has made me so angry that yesterday I didn't do anything but sit and read books, didn't answer the phone. I thought about what I was going to do. Came across in this book I read yesterday a quote from Martin Luther King, who once said, "In the end, it will not be the attacks of my enemies that hurt the most, but the silence of my friends." Mr. Chair, I don't believe that in 2009 in America, in 2009 in the state of Oregon, that we should accept racism, that we should accept racial profiling. It was so predictable that the friend that I was with told me it was going to happen. We were on the Columbia River, two friends enjoying a moment on a boat, as he was pulled over because he was black. And he looked at me after he predicted that it was going to happen, and we watched it happen, and we got pulled over, that he said, "Now I'm going to be the happy darkie so that I don't get hassled anymore." I've been with him as he's been pulled over. This was the third time he and I were together and been pulled over. Is this the kind of Oregon that we want? Now, this can be, as I spoke with the senator in whose district this occurred, that this can be a teachable moment. But this was someone who is a friend of mine. This is someone who I love dearly, who is a member of my family, who told me that he had to spend the rest of the day being the happy darkie so that he wouldn't be hassled by a sheriff's deputy. Colleagues, we are given influence for a brief time as Oregon State Senators. And it is our choice to either use that influence or to abuse that influence. But we are given influence so that we can stand up for people who do not have influence. And I would urge all of us to stamp out racism when we see it, to be angry when we see it, and to take action when we see it.
Thank you, Senator. Messages from the House.
Mr. President, Representative Speaker informed the House has passed House Bills 2276, 2311, 2419, 2495, 2540, and the Speaker has signed House Bill 2365.
Reports from conference committees. Reports from standing committees. In accordance with SR 8.55 sub 1, committee report summary number 23 was distributed to members February 27th, and number 24 was distributed today. This information will be recorded in the journal and the status report. So ordered. Reports from special committees. Propositions and motions. Action on executive appointments requiring Senate confirmation. Chair recognizes Senator Farioli.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, the Republicans will caucus off the floor immediately for 15 minutes.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Devlin.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Democrats will be at ease for 15 minutes. And just so I don't have to announce this again at the end of today's session, there is no caucus today at noon.
Okay, so the Senate will be in recess until 10:51. The clerk will call the roll.
Atkinson. Bates. Bates. Bonamici. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Burdick. Carter. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Haas. Johnson. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger.
Here.
Bonas Anderson. Monroe. Monroe. Morissette. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Brzezinski. Brzezinski. Rosenbaum.
Station, would you call Stembridge and see if we have
Schrader.
Measures that people want to introduce to
Schrader. Starr. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Walker. Whitsett. Whitsett. Winters. President Courtney.
Okay, the Senate will resume under the normal order of business. Introduction and first reading of Senate measures.
Senate Bill 646 will end budget limits for Type B area agencies. Senate Bill 647 will end elections. Senate Bill 648 will end school district boundaries. Senate Bill 649 will end department school sales. Senate Bill 651 will end energy technology and public buildings. Senate Bill 652 will end special education hearings. Senate Bill 653 will end aquifer restoration projects. Senate Bill 654 will end influenza vaccines and declare emergency. Senate Bill 655 will end alcohol beverages. Senate Bill 666 will end two elections.
Transmitted to the President's desk for referral. Second reading of Senate measures.
Senate Concurrent Resolution 1, Memoriam Phyllis K. Beck, 1949-2008. Senate Concurrent Resolution 5, Memoriam Gene Landsman. Senate Joint Memorial 1, urging Congress to allow Oregon veterans to obtain stay home loans at any time after a veteran separates from service. Senate Joint Memorial 2, urging Congress to enact legislation creating statewide transportation systems for transportation of Oregon veterans to and from medical facilities. Senate Joint Memorial 3, urging Congress to enact legislation providing complete health care for all honorably discharged veterans and their dependents. Senate Bill 5552, relating to State Financial Administration, appropriating money, declaring emergency. Senate Bill 104, relating to fee schedule for federal operating department program, declaring emergency. Senate Bill 170, relating to rural airports. Senate Bill 187, relating to State Department of Agriculture, refunding the payments. Senate Bill 581, relating to State Financial Administration, appropriating money, declaring emergency.
Pass the calendar. Third reading of Senate measures. The clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 140, relating to real estate licensees.
Chair recognizes Senator Verger.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Bill 140 comes to you from your Senate Committee on Business and Transportation. Senate Bill 140 authorizes the real estate agency to penalize licensed real estate property managers or principal real estate brokers when they fail to produce rental real estate management records. The penalty is $1,000 a day or a maximum penalty of $10,000. These records may be stored off-site. They may be stored out of state. The thing is, when they are asked for, requested, they must be able to produce them. Failure to do so brings the penalty. Senate Bill 140 also removes the requirement that the publication of discipline license contain the address of the licensee and makes other changes in Oregon's real estate licensing. For example, it clarifies that only a principal real estate broker, property manager, or sole practitioner may operate under registered business names and established branch offices. Senate Bill 140 results from a collaborative effort among advisory groups and working groups, including representation from the Real Estate Agency, the Oregon Association of Realtors, property managers, and others in the real estate brokerage industry. I recommend an aye vote.
Thank you, Senator. Is there further discussion? If not, Senator Verger, do you wish to close?
No.
She does not. Question now arises on third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 140. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye. Their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Brzezinski. Brzezinski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Hass. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Montez Anderson. Monroe. President Courtney. Excused. Nelson, voting no. Ferrioli, Cruz. 27 ayes.
Senate Bill 140, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Without objection, I'd like to return to the order of courtesies and recognize Senator Monroe.
Thank you, Mr. President. In my prayer this morning, I made a mistake. I forgot to ask us to pray for Senator Nelson, who is still at home recuperating. I know that he may still be in the hospital, he's still in the hospital recuperating. I know I have been praying for him at home in my private prayers, but I meant to mention him this morning, and I regret that I forgot. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator, and certainly all of our thoughts are with Senator Nelson. We'll return to the regular order of business. The clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 188, relating to penalties imposed for violations of food safety laws.
Chair recognizes Senator Burdick.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Bill 188 comes to you from your Committee on Consumer Protection and Public Affairs without opposition. It was requested by the Food Safety Division of the Department of Agriculture, which oversees and regulates food safety in Oregon. Senate Bill 188 authorizes the Department of Agriculture to impose civil penalties not to exceed $10,000 for each violation of Oregon's food safety regulations. Under current law, there are only weak criminal penalties in place, with fines varying between $10 and $200 per offense. As we all know from reading the headlines, over the past couple of years, food safety is a very serious matter, and Senate Bill 188 will give it the weight that we need to protect Oregon consumers on food safety issues. I urge an aye vote.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion? Chair recognizes Senator George.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to declare a potential conflict of interest, as is my business, as our food processing.
Your conflict is noted for the record. Is there further discussion? If not, Senator Burdick, do you wish to close? She does not. The question now arises on third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 188. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye as the name are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Morris. Nelson. Brzezinski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Verger. Walker. Whitsett. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Hass. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Montez Anderson. Montez Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. President Courtney. Excused. Nelson, 29 ayes.
Senate Bill 188, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 205, relating to construction contractors.
Chair recognizes Senator Girod.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Bill 205 comes to you from your Committee on Business and Transportation, where it was passed out by unanimous vote. There was no testimony in opposition to the bill, and it carries no financial impact. Senate Bill 205 is an agency housekeeping bill brought by the Construction Contractor Board, CCB. It streamlines and clarifies several statutes adopted in 2007 in response to recommendations by the Task Force on Construction Claims. These changes correct minor inconsistencies and will facilitate the agency's administration of laws which serve to protect consumers. I urge an aye vote.
Thank you, Senator. Is there further discussion? If not, Senator Girod, do you wish to close?
No.
He does not. Question now arises on third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 205. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye as their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Nelson. Brzozinski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Verger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dinkfelder. Ferrioli. George. Girod. Girod. Hass. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Von Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morris. President Courtney. Excused. Nelson, 29 ayes.
Senate Bill 205, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 367, Roland Thomas Paine.
Chair recognizes Senator Boquist.
Thank you, Mr. President. Thomas Paine is quoted as saying, "If there must be trouble, let it be in my day, that my child may have peace." You might not have heard that one, but this one from Paine you might have heard. Government, even in its best state, is but a necessary evil. And the most famous one that Thomas Paine is quoted from is, "Government is best which governs least." Sounds like common sense. SB 367 designates January 29th of every year as Thomas Paine Day. Thomas Paine's 1776 pamphlet, Common Sense, ignited the colonies from his call to an immediate declaration of independence from England. As one of the founding fathers, Paine supported the American Revolution through personal service and his inspired crisis papers, where he urged the revolutionaries on with his famous words, "These are times that try men's soul." In this 150th year of our state, this bill designates another day in history for Thomas Paine Day. And in history, if we don't study it, we are doomed to repeat it. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. Is there further discussion? If not, Senator Boquist, do you care to close? He does not. Question now arises on third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 367. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye as their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Brzozinski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Verger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dinkfelder. Ferrioli. George. Girod. Hass. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Bonas Anderson. Bonas Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. President Courtney. Excuse. Nelson. 29 ayes.
Senate Bill 367, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 395, relating to personal property tax leniency warrants, prescribing effective date.
Chair recognizes Senator Telfer.
Thank you. Senate Bill 395 does basically two things. It reduces the requirement from four consecutive weekly publications to one publication plus a notice by first class mail. in regards to real property. Foreclosure notices were previously published in four consecutive weekly publications. Several sessions ago, legislation changed that process to allow for one publication in a newspaper for general circulation in the county. This bill will allow the personal property publication process to be similar with the real property foreclosure process. It will also give the counties another avenue of notification that is more cost-effective. In addition, Senate Bill 395 increases the fee for service of a warrant from $15 to $20. The last time the fee was increased was 26 years ago in 1983. At that time, the cost to send certified mail was $1.65. The fee was increased from 10 to 15 during that session. Currently, the cost of postage for certified mail is $5.32. The average cost for processing and serving a warrant notice alone is $18.53. This bill comes out of committee with a unanimous do pass recommendation.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion, Chair recognizes Senator Boquist.
Thank you, Mr. President. To the bill.
To the bill.
Colleagues, during the Great Depression, more family farms were lost to the tax collector than were lost to banks. I just got a Christmas card. You know, some people are not real quick on it. I just got a Christmas card that I read over the weekend. And a former state representative and a good friend of mine from the other chamber told in that Christmas card about them losing their family farm in Klamath Falls. When the Depression happened, the bank collapsed and all of their money was in the bank. And then they couldn't pay their property taxes, and so the sheriff came out there in Klamath County and took their farm. And then they came and they took their cows to pay the taxes that were due on the farm that they couldn't afford to keep anymore. This is a good intended bill. It's designed to streamline government. The interesting point is, though, is that we talk about in the five counties that I have that are almost whole counties, only two of them have countywide newspapers. The rest of them all folded and went bankrupt. As we speak, newspaper circulation is down about 40%, and all of the major newspapers in the state of Oregon are struggling just to survive. Let alone the unemployed people struggling to survive. I would point out that the people who are struggling to survive and might lose things and might be subject to one of these notifications are the same ones that can't afford to put food on their table. Well, again, this is a well-intended bill. I mean, I don't think the newspapers are an effective way to get it there, and I sure don't think first-class mail is. The U.S. Post Office will be going to 5 days shortly. I get my neighbor's mail, and they get my mail, and we send it back routinely. The mail ain't what it used to be, so I'll be a no vote. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. Is there further discussion? Senator Telfer, do you wish to close?
No.
She does not. Question now arises on third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 395. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye. Their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dinkfelder. Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Bonnet Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Brzezinski, President Courtney, excused, Nelson, voting no. Atkinson, Boquist, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Johnson, Cruz, Schrader, Starr, Berger, Whitsett, Winters, 17 ayes.
Senate Bill 395, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 394, related property tax rule, prescribing effective date.
Chair recognizes Senator Rosenbaum.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, I bring you Senate Bill 394A, which comes to you from your Committee on Finance and Revenue. Senate Bill 394A deals with mandatory minimums, but not the kind that you might be thinking of when you hear that phrase. This bill changes the mandatory minimum refund of overpaid property taxes to an amount to be more than $10 and also stipulates that when property taxes are due, that the amount to be collected will also be collected only if it's over $10. Current law, as you may know, requires overpaid taxes to be refunded in excess of $5 or more. This is consistent with the statutory provisions on refunds in general, which state that mandatory minimum refund amounts are to be overpayments of $10. The bill has minimal revenue and fiscal impacts. Comes to you with a unanimous recommendation with one member excused, and I urge your aye vote.
Is there further discussion? If not, Senator Rosenbaum, do you wish to close? She does not. Question now arises on third reading, final passage of Senate Bill 394. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye as their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Verger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Almici, Boquist, Burdick, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Bonas Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Przonski, Rosenbaum, President Courtney, excused, Nelson, 29 ayes.
Senate Bill 394, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 409, relating to blackberries and corn emergency.
Chair recognizes Senator Schrader.
Thank you, Senator. This is Senate Bill 409-8. Oregon is the nation's leading producer of commercially grown blackberries. The Legislative Assembly has previously issued a policy statement on cooperative action to encourage the efficient production and distribution of agricultural products through price agreements. That statement is at ORS 62.845. And the Oregon Legislative Assembly has previously taken action to sanction price agreements in the state's ryegrass, fescue, and crab markets. Senate Bill 409A adds blackberries to the commodities for which price agreements are sanctioned. Likewise, there is minimal fiscal attached to this bill. The director of the Department of Agriculture may adopt rules to carry out the director's authority under this section. The director, by rule, shall set and collect fees from the parties who are participants in the blackberry regulatory program, and these fees will be deposited in the Department of Agriculture account established under ORS 561.150. This is a fee for service program. Senator, I'm wondering if I could have the courtesy. I know Senator Girard would like to also say something, I think, with this about this bill. So, I'm done.
Thank you, Mr. President. This is really quite a simple bill. It just gives the blackberry growers the right to bargain a price, a base price, and it's not a shall, it's a may. Blackberries are very rich in costs, or they're very cost-laden, and so it's important for them to know exactly what they're getting into. It's a good bill for agriculture, and I also like to thank the good Senator Schrader for helping me with this bill, and I urge an aye vote.
Thank you, Senator. Is there further discussion? Not Senator Schrader, do you wish to close? She does not. Question now arises on third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 409. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye as their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dinkfelder. Perioli. George. Gerard. Haas. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger.
Aye.
Juan Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Przonski. Przonski. Rosenbaum. Rosenbaum. Schrader. President Courtney. Excused. Nelson. Voting no. Cruz. 28 ayes.
Senate Bill 409, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. First reading of House measures.
House Bill 2276, Related Child Support Enforcement Services. House Bill 2311, Related Service Legal Documents. House Bill 2419, Related School Nutrition Standards and Employee Areas and Court Emergency. House Bill 2495, Related State Accident Insurance Fund Corporation Court Emergency. House Bill 2540, Related Unemployment Insurance Compensation Taxes for Musicians.
Transmitted to the President's desk for the referral. Second reading of House measures.
House Bill 2172, Related Relief from Sex Offender Reporting. House Bill 2174, Related Relief from Sex Offender Reporting. House Bill 2305, Related Shareholder Voting.
Pass the calendar. Third reading of House measures. Other business of the Senate in accordance with SR 8.403. Committee referral list number 52, 53, and 54 were distributed to the members February 26. Referral list number 55 was distributed February 27. The referrals will be recorded in the Journal and Status Report. So ordered. Announcements. If there are no further announcements, and without objection, the Senate is adjourned until 10:15 a.m. Tuesday, March 3rd.